The following reading is brought to you by the Illinois Radio Reader. Hello, this is Joan with the Bloomington Normal Pantograph, dated Thursday, July 3rd, 2025. We will begin today's reading on the front page with the article headlined, Soaring to New Heights, Altitude Trampoline Park Jumps into Future with New Attractions. By Olivia Jacobs. Bloomington. After 7 years of providing a bouncy place for kids to play, Altitude Trampoline Park in Bloomington has added 3 new features to keep kids busy this summer and will soon launch new classes. I absolutely love it when kids haven't been here in a while and they walk through the door and they see that new stuff. They're like, no way, it's all cool, said Carrie DeFields, general manager for Altitude, located at 1702 General Electric Road. The facility recently added a sports court, which has an air floor for kids to play soccer and basketball. Eric Corcoran, local owner of Altitude, said it is the only of its kind in central Illinois. Altitude has also added an electronic game called Freestyle Duo and stunt airbag mats called Big Airbag. 9-year-old Ashton Kirstein said the new attractions are already some of his favorites at Altitude. I like to go in the airbag and like to play soccer and basketball there on the sports court. Yeah, and also play dodgeball, Ashton said. During a visit to the trampoline park last week, his mom, Melissa Kirstein of Bloomington, said she frequently brings Ashton and his 6-year-old brother, Ethan, to Altitude. The boys like to just play with others, but I like them getting out, especially during the summertime or times when they're out of school, Kirstein said. The kids love it. I think it's great. I think it needed a refresh. Kirstein said her family has summer passes, but they come to the park year-round, too. Last week, she said they spent 5 out of 7 days at Altitude because it was too hot to play outside. Ashton said he really likes the new activities and jumping and flipping on the trampolines with his brother. He even hosted his birthday party at Altitude 1 year. The new additions, which were installed over the last several weeks, replaced the previous kids' court. Corcoran said they also moved the wipeout game, changed out the foam cubes under the rolling logs, replaced the drawing pen and jousting beam, and took out the monkey bars since they weren't used as much. Corcoran said it was time to freshen it up as things can get stale. He said the response has been overwhelming so far. Kids really like it, you know. It's a new activity. Every kid likes to dunk a basketball, he said. The manufacturer had said when this was being made, it's the largest sports court that they've ever done. It's shorter than a full court, but super wide, Corcoran said. I'm like, I wanted to fill that whole space. And so we went the extra mile and made sure it was bigger. I think it's a home run, I do. Altitude also plans to offer gymnastics, tumbling, and ninja classes using the new sports court and is looking into how they can have volleyball available to play on it too. DeFields said all of the new additions are included in the regular admission prices. Altitude also offer various memberships as well as a summer pass for $49.99, which includes 2 hours at the park each day through the end of August. DeFields said the passes are a great way for families and kids to stay out of the heat and experience the park all summer. I just love watching people come in and see that area and get so excited about it, she said. It is definitely something new to this community. She said, for the sports court, they allow 3x3 basketball and 4v4 for soccer. They get a lot of older high school kids who come into play, she added. For the freestyle duo game, kids can compete against each other by jumping and see who can score the highest, which is all measured digitally, DeField said. Stefan Robinson of Bloomington and his son, Avi Breek, 11, came to Altitude last week and were excited to see the new activities. Avi said he thinks all the changes are good, and playing in the dodgeball area and foam pit is fun. He said he enjoys meeting up with friends at Altitude to play, and he used to come to the park nearly every day. We've been here twice this week, though, Robinson said. It's so hot out, and I like that he gets a lot of exercise here. Yeah, it's nice. Corcoran also noted the new activities have made cleaning the park way more simple, and while he doesn't have a timeline yet, he would like to add more interactive gaming and other activities in the future. He called this phase two of the expansion project. I think for the most part, Altitude, we have a good name in the community, and also being locally owned and locally operated, I think it means a lot to this community, he said. We want to take care of our customers and treat them right. The next local story is headlined, Heartland Normal Agree on Running Miracle League Field by Matus Janik. Normal. Heartland Community College and the Town of Normal have entered into an agreement to secure operations of Miracle League Field, a recreational center for individuals with disabilities. Located behind the Corn Crib Stadium at 1000 West Robb Road in Normal, Miracle League Field opened in 2015 and was the dream of the late Uncle Bill Wright, a local businessman and father of a child with disabilities. Normal and Heartland will partner to operate Miracle League Field, with the college assuming maintenance of the field and facilities, while the town handles the scheduling of events and league operations. We are very fortunate to have this collaboration utilizing the resources of the Town of Normal and Heartland community to help our league grow and prosper, Steve Mace, president of Miracle League of Central Illinois, stated in a news release. I also want to recognize and thank the many individual sponsors and groups that have contributed over the last 17 years to make our league a success. According to the news release, the Miracle League provides opportunities for individuals with physical and developmental disabilities to play baseball in a safe, supportive, and encouraging environment. Buddies from the community assist and cheer on players and teams, and the baseball field is designed to be completely accessible for players to participate, accommodating wheelchairs, walkers, and canes, the news release said. The opportunities offered by the Miracle League for accessible recreation are closely aligned with the Heartland mission of providing accessible, equitable, and innovative opportunities to enrich our community, Heartland Community College President Keith Cornell stated. We're proud to partner with the Town of Normal and the Miracle League to secure the present and future of this wonderful opportunity for individuals to play, learn, and grow. In 2023, Miracle League and Normal partnered to provide these experiences for a wide range of individuals and to increase resources available for the program. In June, Heartland signed a charitable gift agreement with the Miracle League, gifting the land and surrounding facilities to the college. We're proud to continue the quality programs the Miracle League of Central Illinois has offered for the past 10 years, Normal Parks and Recreation Director Doug Damery stated. Looking ahead, we will explore opportunities to expand inclusive programming and identify additional uses for this valued facility. The next story is entitled State Representative Tipsword Running Again by Drew Zimmerman. Metamora. State Representative Dennis Tipsword of Illinois' 105th House District, which covers portions of McLean, Livingston, and Woodford counties, among others, announced his re-election campaign on Wednesday. Tipsword, Republican of Metamora, assumed office in January 2023 and said he is seeking another term because Illinois needs someone to fight back against increased taxes, a higher cost of living, and a criminal justice system that empowers criminals. I'm proud of the work I've done to bring common sense to Springfield, and I've stood firm against new taxes, Tipsword said in a news release. We need to draw a hard line and cut spending. Last year, Tipsword defeated challengers Donald R. Reince in the Republican primary and Democrat Morgan Phillips in the general election to continue serving the 105th district. He secured his second term with 70% of the vote in November. In addition to serving in the Illinois House, Tipsword is also chief deputy of the Woodford County Sheriff's Office and has served in law enforcement for the last 30 years. As a career police officer, I will continue to fight for our men and women in law enforcement. We must make sure they have the tools and resources they need to do their jobs safely and protect families and our communities, Tipsword said in his campaign announcement. He has stood in opposition of the Pretrial Fairness Act since the law went into effect in 2023. PFA is the pretrial release provision of the Safety Act, an omnibus criminal justice legislation that passed in 2021 and included mandates for law enforcement, including body cameras and use of force regulations. The catch and release system in Illinois needs to end, Tipsword said, of the Pretrial Fairness Act. Public safety should never be compromised by political agendas. He also noted working for policies that small business owners among his priorities during his previous term. I'm fighting to protect our values, defend our freedoms, bring real transparency to state government, and make sure your tax dollars work for you. It's an honor to serve, and I humbly ask for your continued support in this election, he said. And here is a front-page State of Illinois story headlined, Pritzker OKs Healthcare Bills, by Peter Hancock, Capital News, Illinois. Peoria. Governor J.B. Pritzker signed a pair of healthcare-related bills Tuesday that he said would put more controls on the pricing of pharmaceutical drugs sold through insurance plans while expanding insurance coverage for certain kinds of hospital costs. For too long, our healthcare system has been infected by profit-seeking middlemen and predatory actors looking to make an extra dime at the expense of Illinois patients, Pritzker said at a bill signing ceremony in Peoria. Seniors have been forced to pay through the nose for life-saving medications. Families have had to delay or decline medically necessary treatments because they can't afford it anymore. And family businesses like independent pharmacies have had to shut their doors. House Bill 1697, known as the Prescription Drug Affordability Act, will impose new restrictions on practices of pharmacy benefit managers, or PBMs, a powerful but little understood segment of the pharmaceutical industry. PBMs are companies that act as a kind of middleman between health insurance plans and pharmaceutical companies by negotiating drug prices and designing drug formularies that are intended to steer patients toward lower-cost medications. But they have come under intense criticism in recent years for steering patients toward their own affiliated retail chain pharmacies, often to the detriment of smaller independent pharmacies, and for operating pricing systems that are designed to maximize profits for the PBMs rather than producing savings for patients. Under the legislation, PBMs will be prohibited from steering consumers toward large pharmacies in which they have a financial interest. They will also be prohibited from engaging in spread pricing, the practice of charging health plans a higher price for a drug than the PBM pays a pharmacy for dispensing the drug. The bill also establishes a grant program that will distribute $25 million a year in financial support for independent pharmacies funded through a tax levied on PBMs operating in Illinois. David Baggett, an independent pharmacist from Petersburg, who is also president of the Illinois Pharmacists Association, called the bill landmark legislation that he predicted would be studied and replicated in other states. This bill represents the most comprehensive reform of pharmacy benefit managers we have seen in Illinois, he said. For far too long, these companies have used our nation's drug supply chain to benefit shareholders and executives while driving up costs for people who rely on medications and driving pharmacies out of business. But the Pharmaceutical Care Management Association, the lobbying organization that represents PBMs, called the bill misguided legislation and predicted it would have little or no impact on the prices consumers pay for medications. Unfortunately, the legislation does nothing to address the fact that Big Pharma sets the price of the prescription drugs. And the price is the problem when it comes to some Illinoisans facing difficulty affording their prescription drugs, the group said in a statement. Lawmakers have passed 20 bills regulating and restricting PBMs since 2016, none of which have led to lower drug prices. Insurance coverage expansion. Pritzker also signed House Bill 3019, known as the Healthcare Protection Expansion Act. Among other things, it prohibits state-regulated health plans from requiring prior authorization for outpatient mental health services. Last year, lawmakers imposed a similar prohibition for inpatient and emergency mental health services. It also requires insurance plans to cover a patient's travel-related expenses whenever they have to travel long distances to receive in-network care, a problem often faced by patients who live in rural areas of the state. Building on protections that make mental health care accessible for all Illinois residents, this law gives people more opportunities and flexibility to receive necessary services, said State Senator Laura Fine, Democrat of Glenview, a lead sponsor of the bill, in a statement. And here's a story entitled, Bloomington Planning Commission Advances Landmark Recommendation for Former Pantograph Building, by Drew Zimmerman. Bloomington. The decision to establish the former Pantograph Building as a local landmark now rests in the hands of the Bloomington City Council after the city's Planning Commission recommended the designation this week. In addition to the landmark status, the site at 301 West Washington Street may also receive a Historic Preservation District overlay. Both measures were also recommended by the Bloomington Historic Preservation Commission during a special meeting in June. These designations could help to advance lifelong access plans to convert the building, which has been vacant since 2018, into a multi-use support service hub for at-risk residents. The renovated space would offer mental health treatment, dental services, food security, youth education programs, and other essential services. This project was made possible by a $21.7 million healthcare transformation capital investment grant through the state, as well as through partnerships with Chestnut Health Systems, the Regional Office of Education, and other not-for-profit agencies. At Wednesday's Planning Commission meeting, Paul Charnett, Vice Chair of Bloomington's Historic Preservation Commission, whose architecture firm is handling renovations, said the pantograph building is an important structure to the community that should be reused in a way that can best serve Bloomington. If we can do so in a way that is respectful to the downtown and to the West End, I think preservation is one of the best tools that we have to make that happen, and I'm incredibly proud to be part of it, Charnett said. He added that most of downtown Bloomington is already in the National Register of Historic Places, and this would just be a natural continuation of that process. With the landmark designation and district overlay in place, the site could be eligible for local grant opportunities, like the Harriet Fuller Rust Grant, which funds repairs to buildings with historic significance. Charnett said these protections would also give developers the ability to retain existing features, such as the building's entrances, that may not be compliant with city code. It's a big concern how we bring people in and out of the building, considering the occupants who may end up using this space, Charnett said. The external architectural features recommended for protection are the east and south facades, the stonework on the primary facades, which would include the carved pantograph at the south entrance, the form and massing of the 1935 building, which was duplicated in its 1965 and 1975 additions, and the window and door sizes of the 1935 building and 1965 addition. Votes to accept the landmark status and overlay will be taken by the City Council at its July 28th meeting. Here's an item entitled Electronics Recycling Saturday in Normal. Normal. Self-service electronics recycling drop-off will be available for McLean County residents from 8 a.m. to noon Saturday, July 5th, and continuing on the first Saturday morning of each month. These hours are available in addition to regular hours from 6 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. Monday through Friday at the Town of Normal Public Works, 1301 Warriner Street, Normal. Residents are asked to not drop off any items outside of open hours, and drop-off is not available for residents outside of McLean County or for businesses. Signs are posted to indicate where items should be placed. Items may include computers, monitors, electronic keyboards, televisions, scanners, fax machines, copiers, cell phones, video recorders, cameras, and more. Items do not have to work to be recycled. Items containing Freon, like mini refrigerators or dehumidifiers, are not accepted. Visit normalil.gov/electrecycle for a full list of accepted items, or call Public Works at 309-454-9571 between 7 a.m. and 3 p.m. Monday through Friday for more information. The next item is entitled Ecology Action Center to host annual Yard Smart Garden Walk this month by Caitlin Klepek. Normal. The Ecology Action Center is hosting its 22nd annual free Yard Smart Garden Walk this month. The walk will take place from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Saturday, July 19th, featuring gardens in Bloomington Normal that protect the environment, creating healthy spaces for animals with little to no use of synthetic chemicals, according to a news release from the Ecology Action Center. The garden walk is free to attend and will feature four gardens that incorporate native plants into their landscapes, as well as rain barrels and compost bins for reduced natural resource usage. Following the garden walk, attendees are invited to lunch and a presentation from Trent Ford, Illinois' state climatologist, about gardening in the midst of climate change. Registration for the event is required by July 16th. Though the walk is free and open to the public, a $15 donation is requested for the cost of lunch. Participants are expected to bring their own reusable water bottles. And here's an item entitled County Plans Road Closures. Downs. The McLean County Highway Department announced two road closures during the month of July. In the village of Downs, Seminary Street between Franklin and Main Streets will be closed starting Tuesday for storm sewer and roadway construction. This work is expected to run through July 25th. The department will also be closing Bloomingdale Road from Scottsdale Avenue to 1100 North in Dale Townships for bridge deck repairs starting Monday. This work is expected to run through July 18th. For updates and possible extensions to road work, visit www.mcleancountyil.gov/highway. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Pantograph for July 3rd. Please stay tuned.